25 at the latest. The United Kingdom has been grappling with a staggering economy for the past few months, with inflation rate rising to record high, causing the Bank of England to raise interest rates. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story. A leading accounting company has warned that Britain's economy has already entered a protracted recession, which is set to last until the end of next year, bringing more pressure on Britons who are already squeezed by skyrocketing prices. According to the latest UK economic outlook published by accountancy firm KPMG, Britain's economy will shrink by 1.3% in 2023 amid continuing inflation and high interest rates. The international accountancy firm KPMG reckons that the rate of price increases will average 7% next year, an upward revision from 5.6% in their previous forecast. The report further predicted that the labour market in Britain will start deteriorating from the first half of next year. It said the rate of unemployment could reach 5.6% by mid-2023, up from 3.7%, representing an increase of around 680,000 people. Commenting on the KPMG's report, Yael Selfin, chief economist at KPMG UK, stressed that the increase in energy and food prices in 2022, as well as higher overall inflation, have significantly reduced households' purchasing power. Chief economist Selfin noted rising interest rates have added another headwind to growth. Lower-income households are particularly exposed to the mix of current price pressures, as the most affected spending category largely fall on necessities, with few substitutes in the short run. Selfin also called on Britons to avoid buying discretionary items in 2023 in response to squeeze on income. The chief economist at KPMG, Yael Selfin, added, "The current economic situation in Britain could make it harder for some companies to absorb any potential further economic shocks in the short term," adding that the supply chain pressures are likely to remain an issue in the background. The development comes after the Bank of England increased interest rates to a 14-year high. Currently, they stand at 3.5% and it's expected to reach at least 4% by next spring. BusinessInsider.com has also covered the same story. Retailers failed to benefit from a post-lockdown boost in UK high street activity this year after soaring energy bills and the cost of living crisis forced households to rein in their spending. Despite an increase in face-to-face shopping after the lifting of COVID-19 restrictions, Barclaycard data released for the whole of 2022 showed retail spending fell 0.8% on the previous year. The debit and credit card company said the number of transactions was up this year, but the highest inflation in four decades had resulted in smaller basket sizes as consumers sought to keep track of their budgets. A 33% increase in energy bills resulted in consumers becoming more selective in their spending, with Barclaycard reporting people cutting back on subscriptions and home improvements. Britain's annual inflation rate already stood at just over 5% at the start of 2022, but was pushed higher by the impact on gas and electricity bills of the Russia-Ukraine conflict in February. By November, it had more than doubled to 10.7%, slightly below October's 11.1%. Energy bill misery is set to continue throughout 2023 amid warnings that the cost of heat and light and electricity will remain high for a decade. According to analysis from industry experts Cornwall Insight, Gas and electricity costs are unlikely to return to normal until the 2030s. The average annual bill is set to rise from £2,500 to £3,000 in April, which means families and businesses will be paying more next winter. Analysts say the surging bills can be directly linked to the Russia-Ukraine conflict and Britain's decision to stop buying Russian gas and oil. This means Britain has become more reliant on imports of expensive gas from Norway and through shipments of liquefied natural gas, LNG, from America, the Middle East and parts of Africa.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is the teacher. A radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
کمتر وقتی است که من به یاد جناب آقای قاسم سلیمانی باشم و دعا نکنم.
Most of the time in my prayers, I remember General Qasim Soleimani. He was very dear to me. We as the soldiers of Islam have to look at great role models in our lives.
Although our hearts have been set on fire, and although we are mourning this great loss, we know that martyrdom in the way of Allah was your biggest wish.
Today's a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani. Dear listeners, as most of you know, General Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, who was the commander of the Quds Force of IRGC, played a key role in the developments of West Asia especially in fighting the Takfiri West-backed terrorists as well as the Zionist regime of Israel. Shortly before his martyrdom, Shahid Soleimani, in a documentary, explained in full detail how he and the Quds Force helped Hezbollah of Lebanon to defeat the Israeli regime in the 2006 33-day war between Hezbollah and the Israeli regime. He said that the Israelis wanted to launch a surprise attack against Hezbollah in order to put an end to it. They were self-assured that nearly 200,000 American armed forces could back them up and do not let Hezbollah attack them. As a matter of fact, the Israelis wanted to completely change the demographic of Lebanon. Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani said that the goal of Israel was to occupy Lebanon once again and completely destroy Hezbollah under the pretext of saving two of its captives. However, thanks to the intelligence operations of the Quds Force and the vigilance of Hezbollah, they were able to predict this attack of the Israelis, and Hezbollah was fully prepared to defend itself and its country, Lebanon. And now Ayatollah Javadi Amuli talks about the personality of Shahid Qasem Soleimani.
کمتر وقتی است که من به یاد جناب آقای قاسم سلیمانی باشم و دعا نکنم. اما خیلی پیش ما عزیزه.
همه ما وامدار شهادت و مجاهدت این برادر عزیز.
Most of the time in my prayers I remember General Qasem Soleimani. He was very dear to me. We are all indebted to this martyred brother of ours, Shahid General Qasem Soleimani. Last year, he came to the city of Qom to visit the religious authorities here. He had a meeting with me, too. When our meeting was finished and the other people left the room, he asked me to do something for him. He took a piece of cloth out of his pocket and said, "This is a piece of my shroud. Would you sign it for me and testify that I was a faithful person?" I said, "I am not qualified enough to testify this for you. Who am I to do so?" Now he asked me to testify for himself, who was a righteous person. He served his whole life for the cause of Islam. He safeguarded us. He protected us against the enemies. He saved our faces and families. He protected our religion, our Islamic system. He served Imam Khomeini and our current leader. Finally, I accepted and signed his shroud.
گفتیم هوش شاهد خدایا تو شاهدین عزیز ما
کارگزار. I wrote on that piece of cloth هوش شاهد, which means, O Allah, I testify that this dear man has served you his whole life. And now you can see that by being martyred on the path of Allah and Islam, he is now in the presence of Allah, and he will be resurrected with the prophets of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, and the martyrs of Karbala, especially Imam al-Husayn.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani disclosed many secrets about the 33-day war between Hezbollah and the Israeli regime. He said that Shahid Imad Mughniyeh was an extremely influential figure in Hezbollah's victory against the Israelis. One of the amazing things that Shahid Imad Mughniyeh did was that he was able to target Israeli Hummers in Israeli soil and take the ones in it captive. In this way, he was able to capture many Israelis and bring them to Lebanon. Shahid Soleimani went on to say that Shahid Mughniyeh was careful that the ones inside the vehicles would not die, but rather only get wounded so that they could take them captive. Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani compared Shahid Mughniyeh to Malik al-Ashtar after he was martyred. He said that we had the same feeling as Imam Ali did when Malik al-Ashtar was martyred. Shahid Qasem Soleimani praised Hezbollah as a very prudent and powerful force that before conducting any operation, they would make the necessary preparements. For example, when they took Israelis captive, they were fully prepared for the Israelis' response. This was one of the keys to the victory of Hezbollah. This is the voice of Shahid Qasem Soleimani, along with the English translation of his words.
ولی ما از زندگی پاسداری خودمون باید به الگوهای بزرگ نگاه کنیم.
We as the soldiers of Islam have to look at great role models in our lives. Our life will end one day, whether we are in the war fronts or our houses. This will come fast. Even if we live our whole life in the best hotel, or even we are the head of the world, we will die one day. Therefore, selecting the right path in our life is very important.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani, in a documentary, spoke about his role and presence in the 33-day war between Hezbollah and Israel. He said he was in Syria and was unable to cross the Syria-Lebanon borders as it was constantly under aerial attack. However, Shahid Mughniyeh knew a way which was safe. Therefore, he went to Syria and took Shahid Soleimani to Lebanon from that secret passageway. Haj Qasem made a report to the Supreme Leader. The situation was critical in Lebanon. Buildings were being leveled by the Israeli attacks. There were villages that were entirely occupied by Shias and were completely separate from Christian and Sunni villages. Therefore, the Israelis freely attacked those villages and brutally killed many innocent people. Nevertheless, the Supreme Leader of Iran assured Haj Qasem and all the members of Hezbollah and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah that you will definitely achieve victory as you are in the path of truth. Then, the Supreme Leader told them to recite the supplication of Joshan Saghir, which means the supplication of the lesser armor. Ultimately, thanks to Hezbollah's strong faith in God and the Ahlul Bayt, at night, while the Israeli forces were conducting a heliborne operation, one of the Hezbollah commanders fired a rocket that landed on the helicopter and killed all the Israelis in that helicopter. The Israelis thought Hezbollah had acquired sophisticated homing missiles. Therefore, they quickly ended the war and demanded ceasefire. If it weren't for the well-calculated plans of the Quds Force of IRGC and Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani, Hezbollah wouldn't have achieved such a victory. Haj Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3, 2020 by the terrorist Zionist regime of America. May Allah bless Shahid Soleimani and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
I saw nothing but beauty. This is the famous sentence of Lady Zainab after the tragedy of Karbala. After witnessing all the men of her family, her sons, her brothers and his loyal companions being brutally killed in the way of Allah, Lady Zainab said, "I saw nothing but beauty." And today, General Soleimani, we saw nothing but beauty. You lived such a beautiful life and gave your life in the way of Allah so beautifully. You were martyred in the way of Allah by the hands of the Yazid of our time. You spent many years safeguarding the shrine of Lady Zainab in Syria, and if it weren't for your braveries and sacrifices, the enemy would have demolished Lady Zainab's shrine as soon as it could. If it weren't for your braveries and sacrifices, we would be fighting ISIS inside the cities of Iran today. You are a hero for all Iranians and Muslim youth all over the world. Although our hearts have been set on fire, and although we are mourning this great loss, we know that martyrdom in the way of Allah was your biggest wish. And now that you have reached this high rank, the rank of being a martyr in the way of Allah, we ask you to pray for us so that we can live and die like you. A life and death full of purity and honor.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
Food for thought.
Salam to you all, and let us recite to you a widely recorded saying of the Prophet concerning his Ahlul Bayt, whose spotless purity has been vouchsafed by God Almighty in Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea, while my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of earth against discord.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In mid-December, the White House and U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders clashed in the run-up to a Senate vote on the War Powers Resolution put forward by the Vermont Independent. Sanders' resolution would have put a definitive end to U.S. support for the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen by ending sharing intelligence for the purpose of enabling offensive coalition strikes and also ending logistical support for offensive coalition strikes, including providing maintenance and spare parts for Saudi fighter jets. But by the evening, Sanders had agreed to withdraw his resolution, saying he would enter negotiations with the White House on compromise language. The Intercept revealed that the White House was pressuring senators to vote against the bill, and the Democrats came out in opposition to Sanders' resolution. Sanders' justification for not holding the vote was that the Biden administration claimed it would work with Congress on ending the war in Yemen. But even if the White House really wants to engage with Congress on the issue, or if Sanders chooses to reintroduce the resolution, the plan will take time, which Yemenis don't have. A similar Yemen War's Powers resolution was passed in 2019 by both the U.S. House and Senate.
U.S. intervention in Yemen is unauthorized, unconstitutional, and immoral. And we must not, we cannot delay voting to end our involvement and our support of Saudi Arabia any further. If we do, we have ourselves to blame for our country's lost credibility on the world stage. And more importantly, our own consciences will bear the blame for the thousands of lives that will surely continue to be lost.
It is a vote to demand that the humanitarian crisis in Yemen be addressed. It is a vote that will tell the despotic dictatorship in Saudi Arabia that we will no longer be part of their destructive military adventurism.
However, the administration of former President Donald Trump vetoed the bill. The Biden administration's opposition marks a reversal on the part of top Biden administration officials, including Jake Sullivan, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and Wendy Sherman, who signed a letter in 2019 calling on Congress to override then-President Donald Trump's veto of the Yemen War Powers Resolution. Anti-Yemen war advocates say now it is the ideal time to put forth the resolution, as the UN brokered truce in Yemen has expired more than 2 months ago, and the Saudis can resume airstrikes at any time. Since the onset of the war in 2014, the Saudi-led coalition has launched a wide-ranging aerial bombing campaign, carrying out thousands of airstrikes. The coalition also imposed an economic blockade on Ansarullah-controlled areas, including a sea and air blockade, worsening economic conditions for millions of Yemenis. More than 23.4 million people, including 12.9 million children, are in need of humanitarian assistance and protection, almost three-quarters of their entire population. A previously announced end to U.S. offensive support did not prevent devastating and indiscriminate Saudi airstrikes in Yemen, which occurred as late as March 2022. More than 11,000 children have been killed or maimed as a result of the war, according to UNICEF. Critics say the White House's opposition to the War Powers Resolution is, in fact, a gift to the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. In the words of Abdullah Al-Aoud, Research Director for Saudi Arabia and the UAE at Democracy in the Arab World Now, despite the catastrophic failure of Biden's fist-pump approach with MBS and the Saudi government, it seems that while MBS gets more brutal and emboldened, the administration doubles down on protecting him. The fact is, the American government has protected bin Salman legally in U.S. courts with a legal immunity request, protected him militarily with weapons and arms sales, and protected him politically with pressure on Congress to impede efforts to end the Yemen war. For three presidential administrations now, the U.S. has provided weapons and logistical support to the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. The United Nations estimates that 233,000 people have died in Yemen during the war, more than half of them due to non-combat factors like food insecurity and poor medical care. U.S.-made weapons have been used in attacks that left hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians dead and have helped keep the war raging for nearly eight deadly years. In his first visit to the State Department as president, Biden said he was ending U.S. support for the Saudi-led campaign in Yemen.
This war has to end. And to underscore our commitment, We are ending all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales.
But by December 2021, the administration had pushed an additional sale of missiles to Saudi Arabia through Congress. Biden administration officials have failed to condemn Saudi airstrikes at critical moments and haven't effectively pushed Riyadh to end the blockade that's keeping humanitarian aid away from civilians.
The president welcomes today's announcement of an extension of the truce in the Yemen conflict. The truce in Yemen, of course, was a key agenda item during the president's visit to Saudi Arabia, where he met with the king and the crown prince and with leaders from across the region. We're grateful for the leadership of Saudi Arabia throughout this truce process, as well as for the Sultan and leaders of Oman, who have also played an important role throughout. Now, this truce is now going on 5 months, has brought a period of unprecedented calm in Yemen, saving thousands of lives and bringing tangible relief for countless Yemenis. 5 months, which may not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 7 years of war, thousands and thousands of Yemeni lives, it counts for a lot. And now we have a chance to extend this another 2 months.
On these grounds, it's quite understandable why the Yemenis are so cynical about the goodwill of the Americans when they promised to work out a truce or ceasefire that would benefit Yemen in the face of the Saudi-led aggression. The Biden administration has had 2 years to do what he promised with regard to Saudi Arabia and Yemen. The only tangible measure it has taken so far is making Sanders withdraw from his anti-war resolution. It's naive to suppose that the Americans will lift a finger to put pressure on Saudi Arabia to end the bloodiest war ongoing in the world.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, Salamu Alaikum. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Please join us on how to organize our life in Islam. Today, Monday, is the 9th of Jamadil Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of day 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of January 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this time, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Ash-Shura, verses 52-53. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa kadhalika awhayna ilayka ruham min amrina. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم.
And thus we have revealed to you an inspiration of our command. You did not know what is the book or what is faith, but we have made it a light by which we guide whom we will of our servants. And indeed, O Muhammad, you guide to a straight path.
صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورُ.
The path of Allah, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Unquestionably, to Allah do all matters evolve.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Since Allah is the possessor and the organizer of the world of existence and owning to the fact that all human plans toward perfection are to be accepted by this great organizer, the straight path is the only path leading toward him, and any other path besides this one leads to error and falsehood. Is there any truth other than his pure essence in the world of existence? It is worthy of note that the sentence bears a glad tiding to Allah fearing and a warning to wrongdoers and sinners who shall all return unto Allah Almighty.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
The topic of this episode, how to organize your life in Islam. Brothers and sisters, as a Muslim, you need to have a plan in life. What do I mean by having a plan in life? I know we all have plans when it comes to our businesses. We have plans when it comes to our studies, I know. Do you have a plan about reaching Allah and understanding Ahlul Bayt? You have to organize yourself. What time I wake up? What time I recite the Holy Quran? What time I attend majalis? These are very important. When I became a lover and follower of Ahlul Bayt, it changed my mindset. It made me a better person. It changed my thinking. I realized that there is pool of knowledge, oceans of treasures of knowledge in the school of thoughts of Ahlul Bayt about dunya, this world, and akhirah, the hereafter. But we are doing nothing about it. The du'as of Ahlul Bayt, the supplication of Ahlul Bayt alone are oceans to help us leave this world peacefully and go to other world, the hereafter, peacefully. But what are we doing about it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, in this very show, we are going to talk about the ways to organize our daily routine. The first is meditation and mindfulness. Starting our day with a purpose helps us shape how the rest of our day turns out. Actually, this is what we are actually recommended to do in our religious recommendations by the name of musharata, or to some extent muraqabah, to make some conditions for ourselves in that 10 minutes and to understand and to survey and to understand ourselves. and to see what we are going to do and what we are going to actually do in the upcoming day, and the ways that we are going to perform the actions. The second principle that I want to mention here about making and organizing the routines is to develop a fitness routine. We have heard this one before, but we just can't stress it enough. Get your body moving at least 3 days a week. Exercise has been proven to improve mental health by reducing anxiety, depression, and negative moods. Simply put, you become a better, more energetic, focused, and efficient version of yourself. Whether you are an early bird and want to crush a morning run first thing, need to hit up a lunchtime spin class, or if you prefer to have the perfect excuse to wrap work up for the day, getting in at least 30 minutes of fitness 3 times a week will assist with creating a less stressful and more productive weekly routine. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special, and this is a tip on getting organized, order of priorities. Setting priorities and establishing balance in our life is most important. Priorities start with the obligatory acts of worship. In Arabic, it is said ibadah. This means that we have responsibilities towards Allah first, the one who created us and provides us with everything we need in this life. We need to obey Him because we trust that He, Allah, will only command us to do what benefits us and only forbids us from doing those things which cause us harm. We need to build our own faith and understanding of Islam and then work on our surroundings. We cannot do everything all at once. Our bodies have rights over us.
عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
You are with today's special and this part entitled Planning Tools and Systems. Let's speak about a goal setting system. Believe in the power of setting personal goals. They can really give you a sense of purpose and help you see the bigger picture. It's easy to get bogged down in the daily grind and end up wasting time and energy on trivial things. Having purposeful goals in place helps you step back and see the big picture. The key is breaking those goals down into small tasks or habits that you can incorporate into your weekly routine. By working on goals every single week, we really do make meaningful progress on the things that are most important to us. There are worksheets and exercises to help you set intentional goals and stay on track all year long.
You know, we have a hadith where we are told, تُخَلِّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. You know, build your character on basis of the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a general statement, and this is very specific, where Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza alayhi salatu wasalam, he says three qualities. Take one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another from the Nabi, and the third one from the Wali. Once we have all these three qualities in yourself, then you can really become a true mu'min. Then he explains. Number one, فَأَمَّا السُّنَّ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. The trait or the quality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Imam wants us to inculcate in ourselves. فَكِتْمَانُ السِّرْ. What does كِتْمَانُ السِّرْ mean? It means to conceal the secrets. This issue of being, you know, not exposing the weaknesses of the people. One of the famous names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sattarul Uyub. Satar means, you know, covering. Sattarul Uyub means somebody who covers, conceals the defects and the weaknesses of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He is Sattarul Uyub. In a sense, He knows everything. Ms. Imam has really put us at a level that we had to work hard on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden from Him. There is no ghaib for Him. Alimul ghaibi wa shahada, although in Quran we say, but that is ghaib in relation to us. Ghaib means unseen. Nothing is unseen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we consider to be ghaib is a human perspective. Things are concealed or hidden from us because of physical barrier, you know, spiritual barriers, people's thoughts and minds we can't see. So all different kinds of things are there that we don't know things. And so we will say all those things are ghaib. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing ghaib. Even ghaib for Him is shuhud. It is obvious and apparent for Him. In Quran there are many, many ayat. But yet He shows His own mercy and compassion by not exposing our weakness and our sins to others.
As you noticed, we were speaking about how to organize our life in Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special tomorrow. So we meet you soon, inshallah. Fi amanillah.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.